Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon a Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. An inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come in to your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and a just man. He had not consented to the decision and deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. That day was a preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to John's Gospel, chapter 12, and one verse to us this day from verse 32, perhaps a pretext really on the chapter that we read together. John chapter 12, verse 32 for our meditation. And these are the words. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Now, in that translation, it sounds almost for a moment that there may have been some dispute of whether the Lord Jesus Christ was to be lifted up. But there's no dispute, because the verse after tells us very clearly, this he said, signifying by what death he would die. And there's one thing that we were sure of this day, is that our Lord and Saviour was as a lamb which was slain from the foundation of the earth. There was that moment in the garden where he did say, if this cup could pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. But we know this day that cup could never be passed from him, because there was no other way that we could possibly be saved and redeemed and forgiven. And if you think there was and is another way, then I assure you, our Lord and great God would have found it and made a way. But the only way was this, that he had to die. He tells us here, if I am lifted up, there's no doubt. Another translation puts it like this, when I am lifted up. And actually, that's true even today. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And there's no doubt in that either, that when the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up, there is the power in which he draws people to himself. Look, it's the desire of this place and this church that each and every person gathered here this day would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our heart's desire. There may be someone here this day who has a desire this morning to come to Jesus themselves. But you've never been able to. You haven't been able to find the way or the strength. And all I can say to you is this. This wonderful verse tells us, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And what happens is this, and it's the prayer that we have, that as you hear the preaching this day, when you hear of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done, that you yourself will know of his power drawing you even to himself. And we need to remember that as a church. In a day where we've gone down so many avenues of what we need to do to attract people to him. And he's told us quite clearly, there's only one thing you need to do, is when he's lifted up, and of his great work in which he has done at that cross of Calvary, I assure you this day, that will be sufficient and the means by which he will attract so many. And I know it sounds so strange to us, because what he's speaking of here is what we've sung about. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. We're speaking here of that very place where he was condemned to die, that place where he was executed before criminals and murderers and thieves. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, now I tell you, signifying what death he would die in such weakness and horror and a bloody death it was, when I am lifted up there and from that place, I will draw them to myself. And when someone says, why do you always speak about Calvary and about his death? Well, it's very simply today, because from that tree, there's power to draw men and women. Because in that place, you can find the forgiveness of sins. Because the one who died there is the person of the Lord Jesus. And that this day, it's for all people. And no matter who you are, this day, when I am lifted up. Do you know the fascinating thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he did he not, even in his life, draw people to himself. When you think of our lives for a moment, how many friends do we have? But he could take 12 men and he could call them to himself to be with him and learn from him. And he had others too. He had 70 that he could call out and send and be on mission. He had crowds which came to him. You think of the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000. You think of those which came to him, so we are told, from the surrounding regions. And you think of why they came to him. They came to him for food, came to him for healing, came to hear his words, came to test him. They came for him, and they still come today. There are millions and millions in this world from all walks of life, from every age and section of society. They're drawn to Jesus Christ. And then when he is lifted up, I assure you, he says, or they will come. I am minded of that saying of Churchill, that when after 1945, when the war was won and the election was on, they came out in their droves, in their tens of thousands. And then what happened was his secretary turned to him and said, look at the crowds. And Churchill said, yes, but if I was going to hang, they'd come in their hundreds of thousands. And there may be something of that, but I want to show you today of those people who came. And first of all, you find it there in our little chapter that we read together. You find it, first of all, of these women who came. I want to mention them especially, because they are mentioned three times in this account. You find it there in verse 27. And a great multitude of people followed him, and the women who also mourned and lamented. You find it there in verse 49. And all his acquaintances and the women who followed him. You find it again, don't you, there in verse 55. At the very end, the women had come with him from Galilee. They followed him to the end. And there's a word for you. In this day of equality, this day of sexism, here it is now, way back 2,000 years. You find that these women, they're mentioned there, gathered round the cross. I'm always kind of concerned of where we are in a nation. I know sometimes I watch that match of the day and I think to myself, look, I got women telling now how to play Premiership football. I'm watching the rugby and I'm thinking, now they're telling me now how to then to play rugby. But don't you understand, when it comes to the great cosmic event, how they gathered here, and they were no now second place in any shape or form. It was them, as it's been said, they were there with him. Their hearts had been touched with him. They had followed him from Galilee. They had heard his word. They had felt their needs being met. They knew what it was that he had given meaning and purpose to them. And without these women, you see, at that cross, they wouldn't even know where the body was laid. They were last at the cross, you know that, faithful. They were brave. They stood with him when everyone had forsaken him. And when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ this day, I can tell you now there are those whose hearts have been touched with the love of God, and they come to him. You see, I will draw all men to myself. But not only women, we say in the church. The trouble you see in church is filled with women and children. Oh, but you need to listen to this, because what you find here is not only that. You find that even hardened men are drawn to him. Look there in verse 47. And when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Now, what happens on that day is this, is that our Lord Jesus Christ is taken and he is crucified. The most brutal form of execution that one could endure in the warped history of this world, in the way of killing people, they had devised a way which would make maximum suffering. And they had been trained in it. And they were skilled in that work. I don't know if you've ever read the history and the lives of those who are called the executors. I mean, people whose job it is to execute people. And when you read of their lives, it's twisted in some way. There's something irrational about them. There's a hardness, a brutality. And when these Roman soldiers did their worst, you can read it in history. They crucified men and women and children. It was their day's work, and they thought nothing of it. And you read there that even when he was dying, they were gambling for his clothes. It's like if their hearts had been seared in some kind of way. This man knew what it was to take nails and a hammer, knew what it was to put a spear into flesh. In those days, human flesh was cheap. And then you find this, don't you? That on that very cross, having seen now and executed those around him, the centurion, something changes and happens. I don't know what it must have been, but he was there. He may have heard those words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had never heard that before. Never in any executed person asking forgiveness for what was being done. And then he may have seen what had taken place with the thieves and those which are dying, and the hope that he gave to that dying thief over the caption of his head was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And then he hears the words, you know, today you'll be with me in paradise. And no doubt he would have seen how he looked to his mother in his dying and his agony and his sufferings. And he wasn't concerned about himself. And he turns to John and says, now you take care of her. Behold your son and behold your mother. And there's a man who was doing what was right, what was right. And then we know from even the Gospel of Matthew and all the events. And as he sees this, his mind now is drawn to Jesus. Here it is, he says, certainly, this was a righteous man. In Matthew's Gospel, having seen all that took place, he makes the confession, truly, this was the Son of God. Do you see that? Even a man as hard as that. But not only that. Do you see, all men are drawn to him. Look what happens here. Sinners are specially drawn to him. You find it there in verse 39. And one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Now, in this very event of the Lord Jesus, when he says, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself, even in his death. Now, in his life, sinners were especially attracted to Jesus. Sinners gravitated to him as bees to honey. He was separated from sinners. There was no sin found in him. But sinners longed for his company. Gracious words were on his lips. Mercy was in his heart. Love for the lost was in his soul. And when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, incredible as it is, in all his goodness, in all his deeds, in all his person, he was numbered with the transgressors. He was executed with the murderers. He was being put to death with the thieves. And you read it here. Not one of them even was suggesting that they were innocent. Innocent. I don't know if you've ever, well, no, I doubt if you have, but if you've ever done any prison work, everyone's innocent. You go on, no one's committed any crime. But on this very account, here are these criminals. We are here justly for our deeds. And when you read the account, they came and they blasphemed him and they cursed him. But then, when they saw him and they watched him, what they found was this, that there was something else. And the crown of thorns which was on his head and the plaque which is above his head. And so it was that one of those criminals, one of those sinners, one of those murderers turns to him and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And that man was turned. Sinners came to him that day. Do you know, not just sinners and bad people. Don't you find it amazing here in verse 50 of that? They all come, don't they? There are men and there are women and there are sinners and there are important religious people. Verse 50, and behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member. Do you know what he was like? A good and a just man. A man of prominence and of importance. Do you know, a man now who had standing and had wealth. A man of riches, a man of power. And it says that he came in Mark's gospel. He craved the body, the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he was looking for the kingdom of God. He was found at that cross, waiting and longing. There is no one here today who is too rich that doesn't need the riches of the Lord Jesus. There's no one here this day too powerful that doesn't need the power that's found in his weakness. There's no one here this day who's too good that doesn't need the pardon which comes from the Lord Jesus. Do you see it? He draws them all. That in Christ there is no male, there's no female, there's no bond and there is no free. And there's no Jew and neither is there no Gentile. Look at this, what you find. They're all there, aren't they? The Roman is there. The Jew is there. The Syrian is there. Here he is, verse 26. And as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country. Now, what happened on that day was this terrible event where the Lord Jesus had been sentenced to death there at Gabbatha, and then he was going to be led out, you see, in outside the city. There is a green hill far away outside the city wall, and here's this man. He was coming in from the country, and now our Lord Jesus Christ being beaten and bruised, I don't know. But as you know, those Romans had the power to make you carry bags and make you go with them a certain mile. They grabbed hold of this man. He was from Cyrene. And he carried that cross. And he followed the Lord Jesus. And as he followed him, you say, what happened? I don't know what happened, but he had to carry it to Calvary. I know that. And having carried it to Calvary, he must have stayed there and watched him. And all we know from that is this. You know from the book of Romans that his children are mentioned. Being part of, he must have gone home, told his wife, told his kids. You won't believe what I saw and seen. He bled there, he prayed there. He gave up his spirit there. And they came and he was drawn. Do you understand today? He draws all men to himself. We're living in a nation which stops people from other nations coming. You want to come to this nation, you've got to have a certain amount in the bank. You've got to be of a certain caliber. You haven't got a criminal record. But you can come to Jesus and all the boundaries are taken away. And in him there is no east nor west, nor south or north. And in him today, there's no racism around that cross. That cross cancels racism. That cross humbles us all. That cross brings us all together. and all people come to him. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. You can see it. Happened there, didn't it? Happens today. But let me just for a moment, I haven't finished. I just want you to think of the power that draws all people to himself. I mean now, there's a power of Calvary that you won't find anywhere else. The power of love, no, really, the power of love. I don't know what makes people tick and look. I may not be saying things right, but I do believe that those women had felt the love of Jesus like no one else had loved them. And you know, they understood something about Calvary before any of those men. We know that because Mary had broken the alabaster box and she knew he was going to die when the others had no understanding of it. But there was something. And Jesus Christ today, when we think, what do we need to do to attract people? Look, there is the love of Calvary with the Lord Jesus Christ has stretched out his arms and he has shown us. And I can tell you that love is eternal. It is everlasting. And you say, how would you know it's everlasting? Because of two things. Because Scripture tells us we've been loved with an everlasting love. And on that cross of Calvary, in those hours of darkness, as the infinite God, he suffered the everlasting punishment and he never came down. It was not the nails that held him there, but his love for you and for me. And greater love is no man than this, that he laid down his life at the cross. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. And you say there's power. Oh, there's power in love. And the love of God draws people. That love and his mercy, the love of his grace, the love in which he forgives. Oh, it's incredible. And if you could only hear today how much he loves you. This is my body which is broken for you. Lift him up. Lift him up. He draws people. Let me tell you what you find at Calvary. You find a power at Calvary that even people like this Roman centurion. Now, Rome was filled with power. It was mad. It was crazy on power. Power, glory. But you know, when he saw the way that the Lord Jesus Christ died, having committed his spirit into the hands of his Father. Do you know what Jesus says? I have power to lay down my life. No one takes it from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. And at that cross of Calvary, as that man looked down, and as he looked up to him and saw those words, and how the Lord Jesus Christ gave up the ghost, he realizes there's a power at the cross of Calvary which overcomes the grave and death and victory. There's something that people in this world, the power of the cross. And if we only knew that it's the power to salvation, and you can see it. It's weakness to men, suffering and death. But I assure you today, there's not anything like it that can make human beings change dead hearts and make them alive. The power of Calvary. Shall I tell you something more? You say, what else is drawn? As I told you, sinners are especially drawn to him. And the simple reason is this, is that when you come to Calvary and you see that blood which does flow and the wounds which he does bear, do you know you find in that blood, in those wounds, you can find a pardon for your sin. You can find a healing for your soul. You can find a peace that you will never find anywhere else. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief, he longed to see that fountain in his day. And you can see it too. And I can say to you this very morning, no matter what sin you've got, not guilt you carry, what shame is upon you, there is no other place that you could come to or know but at that very cross of Calvary. You come to him and there's blood that can cleanse you. Blood that can make you whole. That is power in this very cross of Calvary. Do you know the sinners, even he saw it. He said, look, we're dying for our own sin. But this man has done nothing wrong. And you know there's a purity and a beauty at that very cross of Calvary where the righteous died for the unrighteous and God's justice was satisfied. No, really, there is that glory which takes place. There's not anything like this cross. And you say, well, what about Joseph of Arimathea? Oh no, he was looking. He was looking. Shall I tell you what he was looking for? He was looking for the kingdom of God. And he knew that in that body and in that suffering and in that broken carcass on a tree, which was none other than our Lord and Savior, the promises of God's word was fulfilled. The plan of redemption, the coming of the kingdom, God working in this world. Look, at Calvary this morning, you will find the meaning of history. You'll find the purpose of life. You'll find the fulfillment of what it's all about. There was then here this Joseph of Arimathea, and he knew that there was something that in Jesus Christ all things were being met. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering over the wrecks of time. As it tells us of the sacred story, sheds around his head sublime. He found that, you'll find that. Do you see, people, they have no meaning, no purpose, no hope. Calvary. All here. And the Lord Jesus says before he dies, when I'm lifted up, when I'm on that tree, signifying the way he dies, I will draw all peoples to myself. Now, perhaps this is the first time you've been here. You think, oh, please help me. That's just too strong. And you need to forgive me for that, because that may be just me. But I will tell you this. He'll draw you. He draws you with his love. Draws you with his grace. Draws you with the promise of peace and of pardon. He draws you in your weakness, where you are. Draws you knowing that you've got nothing. Draws you in the confusion, the perplexities of life, and the darkness and the doubts you have. He draws you. And you know what he draws you to? He draws you to himself. To himself. I will draw all men to myself. Now, I'm glad that you're here today, but you always need to know that you need to come to him. And you need to come to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a place that he will take you to, and it will always be Calvary. For you to come to know Jesus in your life, every single one of us has to come to that place. Not really now. That's what the whole story is about in John chapter 12, is that in those days the Greeks were coming to him. No, that's what it was about. The Greeks wanted him, the learned, the philosopher, the thinker. Perhaps they had a place of learning for him. And Jesus says, no, I am not coming with you, because I'm like a corn of wheat which falls into the ground and dies. And you have to come to a place. You have to come to this place of Calvary. And if you want to know him in your life, there's this place that he will take you. to where he died, and in his sufferings, he'll draw you. Do you know him drawing you? That you're beginning to think of him, beginning to love him, beginning to trust him, beginning to know him. That's Jesus. Jesus has got the power. And he does it through this day. But every one of us, he comes to draw all people. Not everyone will come to him, but all people will. Rich and poor, the great, the small, those high, those low. But I know this, he's got all your needs found in him at Calvary.